Danielle Treadwell talking about a comparison of tillage and mulching strategies for weed management and organic jalapeno.
Thank you, Erin. So I don't know if you have been thanked yet, but since I'm the last speaker, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to say thank you for a great session and for all that you did at the conference for the organic community. So good job, Erin. So I'm excited to share my research with you today. This is 2 years of data. And I am doing this work with Stuart Weiss, who is a colleague of mine at the University of Virgin Islands in St. Croix, and also my biological scientist, Jose Perez. And this is a Southern SARE research and education grant, and we have three locations of this grant, including Puerto Rico. So we have a cooperator at Mayagüez campus. And our team, farming in the subtropics and tropics, is very interested in reduced tillage systems. Our growers till a lot because weeds grow very well in the subtropics and tropics. And if you're an organic farmer, this is a major constraint. So we know from our own experiences, from the experience of others, that reduced tillage systems can improve weed management and also soil health. And that with the challenges that we have, those listed here, our overall goal is to develop systems that are resilient to the climate changes that we are seeing. And we are very interested in reducing external inputs, water use, and we also want to contribute positively to our soil quality, chemical, biological, and physical properties. And I'm going the wrong way. So the specific objectives of the Florida trial were to evaluate the cover crop sun hemp, which is Crotalaria gentia, and identify its suitability for termination with a roller crimper. We wanted to compare weed suppression among four surface mulch treatments common to vegetable systems. And then finally determine the quality and yield of jalapeno pepper, which is our model crop. So my research took place in North Central Florida at a University of Florida IFAS station there that we just call Suwannee Valley. It's about 500 acres of farmscaped research and education center, so it's pretty cool. And all those little squares indicate some specific things that we've done to manage pests using integrated patch management techniques, and the organic unit is number 7, so it's in the lower right-hand corner of that image. And on that unit, we arranged 4 treatments in a randomized complete block design, and then split each of those treatments into 2 levels of weeding intensity. A high intensity, which is weekly weeding, and then a lower intensity, which is weeding every third week. So one plot was 3 beds wide, and they were 15 feet long. So I'm going to present this to you in the order that it was managed, because we've got a few layers of activity here. So the first thing that we did in the winter time was we planted cereal rye on the entire site. We use Florida 401 cultivar. It's adapted for our area. So we grew this, and then in the spring, it was harvested, baled, and stored in the hay barn. A previous year's experiment with using hay purchased from an area farmer did not bode very well for us. It had a lot of weed seeds, and we just decided it was much more prudent for us to grow our own hay. Straw. And so that's what we did both years. And in the spring, after the stubble of the rye was incorporated, we planted sun hemp. And sun hemp was applied after 2.5 tons of poultry litter, and it was inoculated. We seeded that to a rate of about 50 pounds an acre or 56 kilograms per hectare. We seeded that in May of both years. And then prior to establishing our surface mulch treatments, we took some samples. So we grew a lot of sun hemp both years. We had good years in 2013, 9,000 kilograms per hectare, a little less in 2014. We had the magic field in 2013. That is not a typo. We literally had no weeds. And there is a picture on the right showing our half-meter quadrat, and this is what we saw plot after plot. We were not so fortunate in 2014. We moved to a new location that had an awful lot of nut sedge, and I have a picture to share with you later. So we did have quite a lot of weeds in year two. Early in the season, it was primarily crabgrass. So when we managed our treatments at the time of sun hemp termination, the sun hemp was either roller crimped or it was mowed and soil incorporated. So we have one treatment where the residue was retained on the surface, and that was the roller crimped. The next treatment is the no mulch, so we incorporated and left the surface bare. Number three treatment was conventional practice of white plastic. And then finally we did what we call the cut and carry treatment, which is we took our rye straw that we had baled from the previous winter and we applied that to the surface of a soil incorporated sun hemp. Okay. So we established that first, and then 6 weeks after transplanting pepper, we established our weeding frequency treatments. Because we know that typically for vegetables, we have a 6 week critical weed free period. And we were really interested in knowing just how well our mulch systems were going to work if we did nothing. Okay? And then we realized we had to do something. So we did. All right, so there's some photos of the establishment. That is my homemade roller crimper that I did put that together in my first month of being a faculty member. And we have a brand new INJ now, so I'm really excited to use that in my next experiment. But it does the trick, okay? So just some pictures there. So this was not a fertility trial, and it was not an irrigation trial. We did have to apply the fertilizer differently because we had essentially a reduced tillage treatment. And so there we have a get-by where we just pipe down the dry granular fertilizer in the furrows. The rest of the fertilizer was applied and incorporated prior to the mulch treatment application. Okay, and then we followed that during the season with a weekly fertigation, which is standard Florida method of applying fertilizer at just 2 pounds of nitrogen per acre. Okay. So we grew, both years, we grew a cultivar called Tormenta, and we did that in a certified greenhouse. We seeded those in May, both years, early and late, and then grew those out for either 80 or 84 days, depending on the year, and then transplanted those in the field at the end of July or mid-August. So the first thing, let me do this. So the data collection, we used a half-meter quadrat. We measured weed density and weed biomass weekly. Okay, and we separated our weeds into sedges, monocots, and dicots. Okay, dried and weighed them. Data collection for pepper was we harvested the center of three beds and graded the fruit. Anything that was damaged was pulled out. We purposely did not harvest any of our fruit until it had reached size because there wasn't any need to harvest immature fruit. We just harvested weekly, okay? And then you'll see that I've just added all that data together. We used Glimix at significance of 0.05 level, and that's a shot of the field a few weeks before final harvest. So we did measure weed biomass at 3 and 6 weeks after transplanting. So remember, this is prior to the weeding frequency split. Okay, so we came in 3 weeks after we put the plants in the ground, we counted the weeds, we measured them, and then we did that again at 6 weeks because we wanted to see how effective our mulching systems were on weed suppression. So in 2013, at the 3 week time period, the roller crimp treatment did a very good job of suppressing weeds, and it was similar to the plastic mulch. Okay, and in 6 weeks in the first year, we begin to see fewer differences, okay, because the weeds are coming on. It's 6 weeks now, and we haven't done any weeding, right? And then in 2014, you know, we've got some big numbers there, but we saw a lot of similarities among cut and carry, our hay mulch treatment, our plastic mulch treatment, and our no mulch treatment, which means that our weeds were highly variable across the field. And there's a really big difference. I mean, our standard error at 6 weeks was 124. So really, it was difficult to draw conclusions because we just had weeds everywhere. And mostly they were nuts edge. And this is what our field looked like before we implement our split. I know, I see some faces. Thank you for the sympathy. But some interesting things began to happen. So when we went in at 9 weeks, and I'm just going to focus on 2014 at this point, but it's similar for 2013. So at 9 weeks, we had weeded weekly for 3 weeks, or we had only weeded once, right? And so now we start to see some real differences. We start to see that plastic mulch and the hay cut and carry, the straw, excuse me, were very effective at suppressing weeds when they were maintained. And roller crimp came in second, followed by bare fallow is really not a very wise move. And a lot of our farmers don't use any mulch at all. So this was a good, important treatment for us to have to show them. Okay. So there were main effects of system, which I just showed you, and there was also a main effect of frequency. There was no system by frequency interaction. Okay, so meaning regardless of the system, it really didn't matter how frequently you took the weeds out. So either system was important or frequency was important and the same among all systems. So obviously, the more you weed, you know, the greater the degree of differences between that third week. So this is sort of a no-brainer. If you weed every week, you're not going to have as many weeds. All right, so we expected that to be significant. So this is another shot of our plots near harvest. This is in 2013, but they were very similar looking in 2014. We had 14 weeks of harvest in the first year and only 6 the second year. In both years, our season ended because of a hard freeze. So it just came very early in year 2. So in 2013, we looked at system and frequency and that interaction. The interaction was not significant, okay? And the main effect of frequency was not significant. So after that whole season and all those weeds that we had early on in the season, that distinction and those differences went away. So it didn't matter which weeding frequency you had. It didn't matter if you started at 6 weeks and then weeded every week, or if you started at 6 weeks and only weeded every 3 weeks. You know, the yield was really similar. So the treatment that had the cut and carry straw, so this had soil incorporated sun hemp, and then straw that was loaded at a similar rate of the sun hemp biomass, okay, similar dry weight, did very well. And I can tell you that our workers really enjoyed that treatment. The plants were clean. It was just, everybody liked to go on that treatment and work because it was really comfortable. Okay, in 2014, we had similar results. No interaction, no significant frequency effects on yield. And you know, we had cut and carry straw and plastic mulch were similar. So I think when we look at this data, there's a few key lessons that we learned. And one of them is, this is really great news for our growers, because what this means is they are spending inordinate amounts of time weeding. In the tropics and in the Caribbean, folks just don't have mechanical implements. It's all by hand. And a lot of our smaller farmers in Florida, it's all by hand. And so we're happy to help guide them on that and tell them that they can step back a little bit, at least with jalapeno pepper, and really not expect a doomsday situation. So We really like working with the organic residues. I was really encouraged that they performed better or as well as the plastic mulch in a few instances. This is great news for the soil properties. In Florida, we have a coarse sand, so any opportunity we have to add organic matter is welcome. There's a lot more things that we want to look at. We definitely want to add some additional environmental data investigations in the future, and of course expand this into other vegetable commodities. And that's what I have.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome.
Any questions for Danielle?
They're ready to hit the skyway.
So,
all right, thank you.